Welcome to Life Lessons in Unexpected Places. The world is full of teachers if you know how to look and listen. With Asha Nayaswamy, one of the spiritual directors of Ananda Palo Alto and a founding member of Ananda Worldwide. If you enjoy this content and are inspired by the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda and his disciple Swami Kriyananda, find Asha on YouTube, Facebook, Patreon, all podcast directories, and her website, ashajoy.org.
Two sorts of happiness. The exhilaration of excitement stirs the mind, but also befuddles it. Seek that exhilaration which accompanies calm upliftment, to the heart especially. People under the influence of excitement jump up and down, urged by upward spurts of energy in the spine. Every leap upward, however, is followed by a descent. Only heartfelt aspiration can take the mind soaring at last, forever upward. Some of what Swami writes here is based upon certain yogic principles, which are easily observed and demonstrated in ordinary life, and it's the principle of the energy flow in the spine, going upward from the lower chakras up through the heart and eventually to the spiritual eye. The whole art of meditation and spiritual practice, when you get into it more deeply, beyond the point of just observing your thoughts, but actually meditating in accordance with esoteric principles, then we begin to actually influence what people call, and which is true, the kundalini in the spine, which is a much deeper level of energy which moves through our inner reality. Now, the essential process of raising the energy in the spine, awakening and raising the kundalini, which are phrases that are commonly used and less commonly understood. But awakening and raising the kundalini in the context that I'm speaking of is a very harmonious and a very gradual and a very, very uplifting and fulfilling process. It's not a matter of some sort of fierce, almost athletic demanding of it and then a blowout of your nervous system. That's not at all what I'm talking about. So the deep esoteric process of meditation, in which we gradually awaken and raise the kundalini, is a process of first interiorizing our consciousness and then intensifying our inner energy, and then by the right methods, primarily devotion and a systematic working with the way the energy flows, we gradually raise the energy up to the spiritual eye, and all of that happens without chaos, without emotion, with just a gradual, ever-expanding awareness. So the energy continues to flow up and down the spine because the energy flowing up and down the spine is the result of the inhalation and exhalation of the breath. Or let me phrase it differently. The energy flowing up and down the spine results in the inhalation and exhalation of the breath. The life force, the fundamental esoteric life force, and the easily observable physical phenomenon of breath are inextricably tied together. If you think about it, you realize that our state of mind is reflected in the breath. I remember at a period of time when I was having a lot of emotional ups and downs, and I had periods of upset where I would even, you know, become so upset that I would cry. And I was trying to gain some mastery over that reaction because I did not find it helpful. And I realized, of course, the very act of crying, you have this very jagged breath. You're gasping in and out. You know, there's nothing calm or rhythmical about the breath when you're actually weeping. Now, conversely, if you calm the breath, it also has a calming effect on the emotions. This is the whole premise of all the science of yogic breathing exercises, that it's often easier to access the breath than it is to access the inner energy or the emotions also that drive it. So by working from the breath, we can get gradually more inward. And also we can tell our inner state by what's happening with our breath. So I had this realization that if I was breathing deeply and rhythmically, it was impossible to both weep and breathe deeply and rhythmically. And one of the best ways to create deep rhythmic breathing is by exercise. And one of the reasons, among many reasons, why aerobic exercise, especially of the right kind, which is not too exaggerated in its strenuousness, but moderate, balanced aerobic exercise, one of the reasons it has a very positive effect is because the deep rhythmic breathing also calms the entire nervous system, calms the emotion, calms the mind. My favorite and the only form of aerobic exercise that I've consistently been able to do for 25 years now is I like to swim. And I actually also swim with a snorkel that you would use for scuba diving, partly because I never really learned to do the sideways breathing. But the other part of it is when I'm breathing with a snorkel, my breath is constant because I don't gasp for breath and then hold it, gasp for breath and then hold it. It's a very deep, steady, rhythmic breathing. And I started swimming at a time when I was engaged, when I was caught up in a fairly serious litigation. It wasn't personal, but it was for our church. And there was one day where the whole thing was just so, it was so stressful and so beyond the beyond. We were out of town. I was at a hotel. I wanted to get on the treadmill, but I didn't have the right shoes. And I had a bathing suit. So as I put it, I threw myself into the pool and I started swimming vigorously back and forth. And just a few laps of the deep rhythmic breathing. And all of a sudden my mind calmed down completely. So what we also understand with breathing and our emotional states and the states of excitement, which is what Swami's talking here, versus calm happiness, is whenever things go positive, we automatically inhale, isn't it? Isn't that what you do? Somebody brings something that's wonderful, somebody walks in with a surprise birthday cake, you say, like that. And the reason you do that is because you automatically inhale, and the reason you automatically inhale is when one has a positive emotional experience or a positive feeling experience, the energy rises in the spine. And that's the easily observable esoteric principle behind the esoteric practice of meditation for self-realization, which is we work with that energy. We realize that we don't have to wait for someone to bring in a surprise birthday cake, that we can deliberately direct our consciousness by devotion, by prayer, by breathing exercises, by more subtle meditation exercises. Kriya Yoga is the practice that I follow. You can consciously raise that energy, and then by the conscious act of will, you shift your state of consciousness to a perception of calm happiness. And simultaneously, and it's all because the energy rises, there's an inhalation. You know, you go to a beautiful country site and you really want to take it in. You go outside and you do a big inhalation because you really want to take it in, and you straighten your body and you tend to lift your chin and often you raise your eyes. Everything goes up. And there's nothing, you know, this is no esoteric religious dogma. This is just everyday life. Simultaneously, someone comes in and they deliver bad news. They tell you, you know, your neighbor is going to sue you because you cut down his tree and you thought it was your tree. Oh, no. And immediately you say, oh, just, and it's just the opposite. Oh, like this, excuse me, that didn't sound very happy. It's just the opposite of the happy inhalation. That's the happy inhalation. The unhappy exhalation is, oh. And you can't say, oh, by inhaling. And you can't say, oh, by exhaling, you see, because they just have an automatic way. Yes, of course, you could force yourself to do it. But you understand the spontaneous action. And there's also a physical. Oh, no, I'm going to be engaged in litigation. Oh, no, you know, somebody, my car got towed because I had too many parking tickets. Oh, no. And the shoulders fall, the head falls. We look to the ground, watching little children, because they don't have any conflicting cross currents of egoic, self-concern. They just behave. When children are really excited, what do? They just jump up and down. They just jump, 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 jump. And when they're upset about something, they throw themselves down in a tantrum, right? You get a little child wired on sugar, and he just jumps and jumps and jumps. There was one of those funny little videos that I saw. And this father is filming his son, and his son is about maybe 3. And he's having this conversation with his son. And the entire time the conversation is going on, the little boy continuously just keeps jumping in the air, absolutely without stopping. He just jumps, jumps, jumps. And the father starts having a conversation with his son. How many cookies did you eat? And the boy says, 1. The father says, there were 10 on the plate, and there's no more cookies on the plate. And there was no one else in the room but you. How many cookies did you eat? Well, maybe 2. And the boy's jumping, 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 jumping the whole time. And of course, by the end, we ascertain that the boy ate 10 cookies. So now he's just so wired with sugar, all that energy running through him, he just keeps jumping in the air. And of course, the next thing that's going to happen after the sugar wears off is he's going to throw himself down and have an absolute breakdown, which is why we try to keep little children from overdosing on sugar, because otherwise we go through this up and down. Now, Swami is talking here about there's different kinds of excitement that the adult human, who supposedly has more capacity to decide whether to eat all 10 cookies or just 1 cookie, and also has more capacity to have some mastery over that energy. Because you see, the children have absolutely no mastery over that energy. Whatever runs through them, it just runs through them. I mean, most children. Some children are surprisingly self-contained or self-controlled, but the majority of them are an absolute victim to these waves of feeling, which is why children are certifiably insane if they were adults. They're perfectly normal when they're children, but the way the waves of feeling go through them, and the excitement and the depression and all of that just up and down. Every time you leap into the air with excitement, it will inevitably be followed by a descent. And that's exactly physically. You can't just keep going up. You also have to come down. So when the excitement, which people think of as happiness, is based on this stimulating the energy to go up rather than actually interiorizing, intensifying, and then magnetizing it upward. This is what Swami's talking about when he's talking about calm feeling. And don't misunderstand, that feeling is very deep. And in fact, it's more profoundly deep because it's within us, it's internal. It's not just entirely based on everybody screaming and hugging and hopping up and down. I mean, there's a time to be really excited, but many people think the only way to be happy is to start screaming. I'll tell you, this was interesting to me, and I don't mean to be rude, but I did watch it. I was in Israel in January of 2020, actually, for the whole month. I was a leader of 2 pilgrimage tours to the places sacred to the life of Jesus. And we, our group, our 2 groups at different times, went to the Jordan River, and we immersed ourselves, it was January, it was a little cold, but many people immersed themselves. We at least stood in the water. And there were a number of other pilgrimage groups around us. And of course, this was a trip of a lifetime. And I really loved these people who were with us. I loved everybody I met in Israel. The heart was so open. It wasn't like I'm judging them, I'm only observing. And they were very excited. They'd come all the way to Israel. These were groups of Americans, the group that I'm talking about. And Americans can be very outward in their exuberance. So we were chanting and we were meditating and we were having this very solemn, silent baptism ceremony, which was very deep. And right next to us, because of the way it was set up there, this American group, they were baptizing and they were full immersion and they had their preacher there and everybody was very happy. And every time somebody was baptized, the response of the rest of the group was as if the home team had just scored the winning touchdown. And I felt great affection for them, so it wasn't judgmental. It was just observing that they wanted to express how much this meant to them. And the only way they could think of to express how much it meant to them was the most outward, unbridled, exuberant, loud expression that they could think of. So, you know, just periodically, as we were silently chanting and meditating there, they were cheering their home team on to victory, which was whoever was next getting baptized in the Jordan. I was delighted they were there. I'm happy that they were baptized. But the contrast was really striking. And so we ask ourselves, you know, is there another level of happiness? Is there another level of deep inner happiness that is what we really want to be seeking in our lives? And these are not just a random experience. This is an ever-increasing awareness of the flow, the ebb and flow of my own consciousness, and gradually over time, a realization that if I can gain more conscious direction over my inner flow of energy, then everything that I want in my life will come to me, and come to me much more profoundly and easily than if I just continually allow my energy to be dissipated in whatever way it arises and falls. So Swami suggests two sorts of happiness. The exhilaration of excitement stirs the mind, but also befuddles it. Seek that exhilaration which accompanies calm upliftment to the heart, especially. People under the influence of excitement jump up and down, urged by upward spurts of energy in the spine. Every leap upward, however, is followed by a descent. Only heartfelt aspiration can take the mind soaring at last forever upward.
Our work is made possible by inspired listeners, so if you feel to support ASHA, you can make a one-time donation, or for unique members-only content, subscribe through Patreon. Blessings and thank you.